Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 32, a Psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you this morning. It is Saturday morning, August the 22nd, 2020. We thank God for all of you who have joined us this morning. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. Great to thank you for joining us. We'll see you there on the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask a question, or share your insights and wisdom for the day, just press 1 on your keypad. For all those that are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we'd like to welcome you also. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, this morning, we're going to talk about romance. We're going to talk about marriage. Continuing our series, Saving Marriage, One Marriage at a Time. And we just want to come and encourage the husbands out there, the wives, the couples, that, you know, no matter what you're going through or what the challenges are in marriage, no matter if you've been married 1 year, 5 years, 15, 20, 35 years, the challenges of marriage, the commitment to one another, and we just want to encourage that, you know, because we're finding out in this day and age that couples in the church, outside the church, but particularly in the church, are struggling with things behind the scenes, behind closed doors, in secret, and, you know, the church doesn't find out till, you know, after the fact, after decisions have been made and breaking up and separating. But but today, I just wanted to encourage marriages, be able to encourage. So we all know couples that may or may not be struggling. We know married couples in our circle that we should be praying for and reaching out for. And then even in the midst of the congregation of the churches, are we mentoring? Are we reaching out? Are we encouraging married couples? Are we finding out? First, let me say this. Are we truly connected one to another when it comes to marriage and we're connected with other couples that we know we can go to for prayer, we can go to seek wisdom and godly advice, or just have someone to come alongside when things are getting a struggle, when it's tight, when we're struggling with temptations, we're struggling with failures, we're struggling with emotional issues, financial issues. As a married couple, we have couples around us that will support us and encourage us and strengthen us. And that's where you first have to begin. Who are the couples that you're hanging around? And are these couples the people you can go to? Or are you just putting up a facade and a masquerade that your marriage is happy until it's not? Amen? So that's where we begin when we talk about marriage. It takes a church to save a marriage. It takes a church to save a marriage. Amen? We're going to open a prayer. We'll get right into the conversation today. Again, if you called in on 646-668-2636, just press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you into the conversation. You can join us and share your insights and wisdom that you've experienced in your marriage that might help someone else. Father God, we just say thank you right now. We thank you, God, for all that you are and all that you do, Lord God. Father, I thank you for a new day, a new opportunity, oh God, that today, God, out of my life, oh God, will glorify you, God. The choices and the words I speak, the choices I make, the people I run into, God, that my prayers will be heard by you, oh God, and be answered, that your will be done in my life, Lord God. That, God, I would, that I would have an ear to hear the Holy Spirit speak and be obedient to that Spirit. Father, I pray for my brothers out there, God. I pray for the husbands, oh God, who woke up today with challenges, woke up today to lead their families, lead their wives. Father, we pray for those men, oh God, that they would pray for their wives, they would pray for their families and their children, oh God. And Father, today give that man direction. Give him direction. Give him a word. Give him encouragement. Give him strength, oh God, that he will be able to continue to stand, oh God, as the leader in his home and the leader in his marriage and to lead his wife, oh God. Father, we say today, oh God, that we say to say thank you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for what you're doing in this world. Father God, we pray for our leaders, God, from the president to the mayor to the city council, to those who we work for, to those we work with, Lord God. We're praying, God, that you would touch their lives in a way that you see fit, God, that would either encourage them or draw them to you, oh God. They would know your Son in the saving grace that he died for their sins, that they might be redeemed and reconciled back to you. So, Father, we pray for the lost today. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the sick, the shut-in, those who woke up in hospital beds this morning, God, those who found themselves in emergency rooms this morning, Lord God. We're praying for them, Lord God. We're praying for our seniors in nursing homes, oh God. Keep them safe, God. Keep them, comfort them, oh God, right where they are, Lord God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to keep your hand on your people. Strengthen the church. Give the church guidance and direction, Lord God. And God, we just say thank you again for your Son, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen, amen. Well, again, today we're going to be talking about responding romantically to your mate. And again, I'm taking some of the notes here and some of the encouragement of one of our suggested reading books from our summer reading list here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. The book is An Even Better Marriage, Start Today, Be Happier Forever by Steve Audubon. That's Steve Audubon. If you go on our Facebook page, you'll see the book there in the cover. It's Audubon. It's A-R-T-E-R-B-U-R-N. And again, the name of the book is An Even Better Marriage. Start today and be happier. And today we're going to touch upon chapter number 2, give you some highlights in the chapter. As always, I encourage you to get the book, read it for yourself as a husband, and then read it with your wife. Read it as devotional. Come together and do the work. Do the work it takes to tune up our marriage, to take care of our marriage, to do that preventive maintenance or that scheduled maintenance on our marriages and on your relationship. Because without that, this is why things drift. This is why we get off course. This is how we start to take each other for granted. We start to take our relationship for granted. And when it raises its head, you know, that's when the issues start. And that gives the enemy a foothold. Because the more gap we have between our relationship with each other is where the enemy can get in there. If we're one flesh, there should be no gap. It should be one flesh. No scars, no lacerations, if it's one flesh. And we have to also work on healing those broken places, those scars, and remove some of those scabs that the skin might cover it over. Amen? Amen. So today, again, we're going to talk about, I'm in chapter 2. It says, respond romantically to your mate. And there's a lot of things mentioned here in the book. I want to touch on one. Because in romance, we're going to touch on something the church usually church shies away from. Some churches, marriage ministries. We understand sexual relationship is part of marriage and part of the romance of marriage. But we have to understand that sexual satisfaction comes from investing in other person's joy and pleasure. And it does not come from seeking to gratify ourselves, our own self-gratification. When our sex lives, because, again, where the culture is, depending on how you was raised or how you was living before you got married or how you was living before you got saved, you know, sexual gratification and a lot of men, a lot of women, we out there, we're being promiscuous. We were all free doing what we want to do, how we want to do, because we were grown. And when we bring that into marriage, we're not necessarily showing that same kind of care and response to our mates, and that could be carried over. It might have worked out when you were dating. It might even worked out for the first couple of years of your marriage, because everybody's on the same page. You know, if I'm lustful and you're lustful, our lusts come together and we think we're in love. Amen? But in the midst of that, when we're talking about married couples today, we're going to go back to Genesis. God. God created Adam and Eve and were created to live forever, and so was romance. Remember, God created Adam and Eve, and God put man and woman together to live together forever. Marriage was a lifetime commitment. It was a covenant that we came together in the sight of God and to live together and create a family, because the family is the first institution God created in this, in the earth. It wasn't a ministry. It wasn't a church. It was marriage and family. And that's what God's intent was, to be the foundation of it all. Because, again, if we look at our churches today, the stronger families we have, the stronger marriages in the church, the stronger the church is, and the more the church can do, and more the church can be salt and light and be an example to the world on what it means to be servants of Jesus Christ. Because we know the church is a metaphor for the relationship between Jesus and his church. Amen? So the glory that God has built into every man and woman was forever, that glory of that relationship of marriage. God meant for a relationship between husband and wife to be one of lasting joy and wonder. Joy and wonder. Is your marriage today filled with joy and wonder? Would you describe your marriage as joyful and a wondrous relationship? And if not, well, how do you get there? What needs to be done to get there? How do y'all come together and get that and fix that thing? Because, again, it takes two to commit to a marriage, commit to that relationship, to make the covenant work. And what are you doing? Where are you at today? You have to be honest. It's just like our salvation. We have to understand and know that we agree with God that we are sinners and we need salvation, and that Jesus Christ came to redeem us back and pay the price for our sins. But if we never are convinced and believe God that we are sinners in need of a Savior, we cannot be saved. So it's the same thing with our marriage relationships. If we can't be honest and transparent in our marriage and see where the weak areas are and seek to overcome them, reconcile them, and bring the Word of God into place to fix some of these things, then we're being naive and we're destined to fail. Amen? So we got to talk about being in a commitment. It's hard. I mean, we're all called to live these marriage covenants out in God's way. So couples who become, you know, as couples, as man and wife, we start to become knitted together. We should be coming to one flesh, as from even when it starts with the marriage counseling, pre-counseling, to the, you know, the wedding, which, again, anyone who knows me and knows me about weddings is a celebration, and you feed a bunch of people who are freeloading, celebrating your lifelong commitment. But that has nothing to do with marriage. There's weddings, and then there's marriage. They're two separate entities, two separate events. Nice weddings are fine, whatever you want to do, however you want to do. But realize that's a celebration. You're bringing people together to celebrate the two of you committing to one another for life. And if that is not in your heart and mind, you're already starting off on a bad foundation. Let me just say that, because the foundation matters. Where we begin is going to determine where we're going. Amen? So couples whose souls begin to knit together can never fail to experience the glory of romantic intimacy. We talk about that glory. You know, we've all been there. We've been excited, young in love, passionate for one another. And when we were dating, when we get engaged, and we spend time, and we're spending time together, getting to know each other, and we just realize that we want to be together. We're in love with each other. And that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. However, you know, whatever, you know, how you treat her, how she treats you, how y'all seem to get along, how y'all seem to communicate. But then when marriage comes, things start to shift. So we have to understand that marriage, we have to shift the focus now. We have to shift the focus sometimes from that romantic energy that gives us momentum, and then shift to, we have to get to a place where we're maintaining that spirit, that growth, and that we want to be able to grow. Because as we grow older in life, as we experience life, as we live together as a married couple, we're going to have to take that same energy, that romantic energy, and shift it into real life and into our marriage to build stronger foundations. Amen? So when we talk about shifting it, you know, most people assume that means giving up spiritually because it involves sacrifice. We know spiritual sacrifice in the things of God and the kingdom of God. We sacrifice ourselves to the things of Christ and to live obedient to Him, to His will and submitting. But in our marriage, it's the same thing. We have to give to others and be able to, we give in for others that others might be doing better. I believe it's in Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It talks about knowing that it's better to give than to receive. So we have to understand what it means to be giving spiritually because it involves sacrifice. But giving offerings is even greater benefit, especially when it comes to sex. In giving pleasure, you receive pleasure. So that's when we talk about romance, and especially when we talk about our sexual relationship and sexual pleasure in a marriage. That's where the struggle comes. That's where we're challenged. That where we have to see where we are. And when it comes to romance, and when it comes to the sexual intimacy in a marriage, and our mindset on that, and where do we go from there, and how do we handle it, and how do we grow with it? We have to really spend time in it. Spend time in the romantic side. Spend time in sowing into our relationship as a couple, as a man and wife together, and being able to grow. And it comes, it's a lot of different ways. It's a lot of facets. It's a lot of different ways to do it. It's like anything else. For every couple is different. But you have to know what works for you and your couple and your relationship. You know, we don't want to get caught into the place out there. I remember back when we was doing marriage ministries and different marriage groups I was part of, we talked about, you know, sexless marriages. Marriages where they're not even sexually intimate anymore. Goes on for weeks, maybe months, and for maybe even years. But what are we doing? What are you doing to solve that problem? Even if you're in the midst of it now, or for those who you remember when that was a struggle for your marriage, those things are the things that we are able to share and be able to encourage one another. Because we don't want to get stuck again in sexless marriages, and then that manifests into something else. Because if one area is weak, or that's a place where the enemy can get in and can separate you and break that fellowship and take that one flesh and start to separate it, we have to address it, both the man and the woman. It has to be addressed and find a solution for it. There's a lot of reasons. I mean, some of it can be emotional, some of it can be physical, some of it can be, what's the other way I'm looking for? You know, the intimacy is lost because of you're not spending time together. You're not paying attention to each other as you once was. Because again, I always say this, in the beginning of our marriages and our relationships, we saw each other differently, and there was a reason for why you got together. There was a draw, there was an attraction. What happened to that? And we have to start there and to rekindle that thing. Or for other reasons, what is going on now in your lives that you are not the primary focus of your spouse? And for husbands, where are you? Are you being intimate? Are you being attentive to your wife? Do you know what? Are you connected to her? Are you staying in connection to her? There's nothing I can say more than anything I can say here. It's about what the Bible says we are as one flesh. How do we let our flesh just, if we had our arm, a leg or something was infected and it was just getting worse and worse and worse and to the point where it has to be amputated, this is what we're doing with our marriages. It's something going on, there's a scar, there's a cut, there's a breach, and what are we doing to heal that thing? It's as simple as that. And are we willing to humble ourselves, to submit, to make the sacrifices, to look to please the other more than ourselves, to heal that brokenness, that tear? Amen? So, brothers, today I just want to encourage you. And as always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I just want to encourage the men to be the husband that God has called you to be. And if in any doubt, this is what we talk about in men's ministry, being part of a men's ministry, being part of a marriage ministry, or be connected with mature, godly, happily married, let me repeat that, because every marriage that's been in the church is not necessarily happy. You don't necessarily want to be around that, to have any of that stuff rub off on you. But you need wisdom and discernment for that. But again, being around strong marriages, being around couples who actually love and committed to each other, so that you have an example, a role model, and that they can pray for you and pray with you. And this is, again, we can't just sit there and think our marriage is going to get better without sacrifice. And it's something that I recently was in a men's prayer group and we talked about. As men, we have to learn to submit. Submit to those around us who try to mentor us. No one can mentor us. No one can teach us. No one can pastor us if we're not willing to submit to what we hear to change what we're doing and how we're doing it. I give you a minute for that, because it doesn't matter how much counseling you go to, pastoral counseling, professional counseling, if you're not willing to change what you're doing and do it differently and sacrifice some things, it's not going to change. And what I find a lot with spouses, husbands and wives, is they always want the other one, what they're not doing right and what they need to do When I come to find out, even if everything you think your spouse should do, if they did it, it still wouldn't change because you're not willing to change. You just gave her a false list of do's and don'ts. And even if she did them all, it wouldn't necessarily fix your relationship because you don't think you need to change. And that's the greatest hindrance that the enemy can tell us, and our pride telling us that we are right and our spouse is wrong. Amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Ben's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always listen to an archive of our past shows and listen to this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And on Facebook, we're on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. The men's ministry links are there. The links for these programs are there. A lot of information, a lot of encouragement, devotionals. A lot of things we do to encourage men as they lead in the home, in the family, and in the community. Amen? All right, men, brothers, we're going to talk a little bit about Romance 101. Romance 101. The key here in the challenge is the 10 that we want to make mistakes in romance. What we do, I'm going to give the example I'm going to give, and this is out of the book, because we want to do marriage like we do religion. You know, we have religion, and we know that a person may truly love God, worship God, but he has to do it more than just on Sunday. Just because you go to church on Sunday, you pay your tithes, you're at worship service, you're at prayer service, Sunday school, and then maybe not go to Bible study on a consistent and ongoing basis, but yet you say you love God, and you love the people of God, and you're a Christian. So if your marriage, if you treated your marriage the same way you treated God and the religious things that you do, maybe that's why your marriage is the way it is. So if we are truly Christian, we're being continually conscious and pleasing to God in all our relationship activities, transactions, and recreations. That means I'm a Christian 24/7. I'm not just a Christian on Sundays or on Bible study or when I'm around my other Christian people, but when I'm around the people on my job, in my community, or folk I know that I know are not saved, I'm different. And we've talked about that before here, it's Christian Men's Talk, that we're living two lives, the saved life and unsaved life. But anyway, our marriage relationships can't be the way if we treat Christianity like a religion. Amen? So we have to know what fuels romance in the marriage is each mate is put the other first and be continually attentive to the other's needs. And that's where it begins. Am I attentive to my wife's needs in all things, at all times, in all places? And is that who I am on the inside? Is that a sign of my character? Is that who you are as a husband? You have to ask ourselves, are we continuously living a life that is pleasing to God and pleasing to our wife? And are we staying focused on the things that make her happy, that are sincere? You know, there's an old saying which I don't really like, but, you know, people keep using it in marriage ministry, and every time I hear it, whoever pastor or speaker says that, I want to know, what does that mean? You know, we say happy wife, happy life, but what does that mean? What does that mean? And as Christians, if Christ is the husband of the church, So did Christ do anything to make the church happy, or is the church obedient to Christ because he is their husband, he's their Lord and our Savior? So do we see our marriages as men? You know, we are leading our wives, we're guiding our wives, we're covering our wives. Are we doing the things that Christ does for the church, which may or may not make us all happy? Because we know the things that Christ has called the church to do, a lot of churches are in disobedience. Even if we look at what the letters Paul wrote to the churches, if you look at what John wrote to the churches in the book of Revelation, you know, remember, if the church is the wife and Christ is the husband, how much more does Revelation translate into what we're doing? But again, you know, there's a lot of cliches out there which have no real meaning. They're not very helpful because, again, when we have men who are submitted unto their wives in all things and don't lead in the family and lead in the home and lead in the marriage, this is where the enemy gets in and destroys marriages. This is where the enemy gets in and destroys marriages. I'll say that again. Because you have to understand, as husbands, we are called to lead and guide and direct our families and our homes. Amen? Amen. Well, today I just wanted to give that as a word of encouragement. We plan on doing a more series on this, on marriage, on how to save marriage one marriage at a time. And today we were talking about respond romantically to your mate. And again, we're coming from the book I am recommending, highly recommended for married couples to get and to read through and work through together. It's by Steve Audubon. An Even Better Marriage, Start Today, Be Happier Forever. Amen. So I'm going to give you a highlight of a couple of things to do to ensure that you and your spouse have a great sex and romantic life. Again, this is from the book, and I just want to throw them out there and give you something to think about, something to meditate on, and encourage you to start to maybe apply these things. Again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, and you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show. Get your paper and a pencil, write some of this stuff down if you don't go out and get the book right away. And just begin to work on these things to help improve your marriage, to strengthen your marriage, and strengthen the marriage of someone you know. Be able to pray in certain areas. Amen? Well, the first one we're going to share with you is tend to each other's needs outside of the bedroom. Intimate romance early in the day and maintain that all day long. You know, the romance and intimacy doesn't start once you've hit the bedroom. It starts all day. It's a lot of different things, a lot of strategies that, you know, you have to make your spouse feel wanted, needed, and that you care about them, which will lead to romance, even in the midst of a long work days, children, ministry, all kinds of things that we have to do, but also we have to take time out to set the pace, to set the atmosphere. Amen? And as husbands, we are called to set the atmosphere in our homes because our wives are the thermometers, but we are the thermostats. Number two, eliminate interference when you have times of intimacy together. Those with children, it's a time to bedtime, get a lock for your bedroom, and set bedtime for your children. That's the best thing I can tell you. Oh, also, cell phones, there's a certain time cell phones can be cut off, put on silent or something, where you're not going to be interrupted by a call. Because, you know, again, voicemail was invented long before cell phones, and you'd be surprised, voicemail works. Some people have just a reflex. The phone rings, they answer. But, again, eliminate interferences. Number three, continue to remind each other of the good things about each other and your relationship. Sometimes you got to boast on your relationship, where you are, where you were, and where you want to go. And remind each other. Remember when it was and where it is today. Or this is where it is, but this is where we want to go. We have to continue to remind each other it's not always going to be like this. Just like our Christian walk, just like our salvation, our spiritual maturity, we're going to grow. And as a married couple, we're going to grow together. We're going to grow closer to God and closer to one another. Amen? Number four, try new things together. Never push your partner to do something they don't want to do, but be open to new experience and explore new ways to please each other. That speaks for itself. You know, don't get into the routine, don't get into the habit, be spontaneous, do something different in your marriage, in your relationship. And when that comes from all the way from romance to time you spend together to sexually, you know, just experiment. Don't get into a rut. Don't get into the same boring routine and habit. That can also kill a marriage. Amen? Number five, any man involved in pornography. Okay, this is a destroyer right here. This is the pornography, masturbation, sexual fantasy. It's a betrayal to your spouse. You must find a rescue and help to stop, to stop, to stop. And start to build, because it starts to build up and it starts to erode. It's a betrayal, really, to your spouse. Even with, okay, let me go back. Even with wives and pornography, you know, male strippers, male pornography, whatever, watching sex acts, you know, fantasizing over other men, it can destroy a marriage. And if there's anything with pornography online, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, today is the day to confess that thing, repent from that thing, and seek help in that thing. This is why one of the things that we talk about at Men's Ministry and Man Up events, we have to, pornography is the thing that's killing us from every generation. I've talked to young men in their 20s, 30s, newlyweds, that they got into pornography in their teens, and they struggle with it now. I know old brothers who struggled with pornography for years. They were in strip clubs every week. It was like if they were more famous with a strip club than they were to the church and to their jobs. Amen? So that thing has to be attacked. That thing has to be confronted. That thing has to be confessed. And as men of God, leaders in the church, as pastors, elders, men's ministry leaders, this is something we definitely have to go directly in when it comes to men in the body of Christ who struggle with this. Number six, any woman who criticizes, controls, or compares her man is neutering him and creating a little boy. She becomes a mother to a male child. Intimacy is destroyed. This is for my sisters who are listening in here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. How you treat your husband and you belittle him, criticize him, this is why the intimacy is not there. Because no man can feel comfortable if he's in a child, mother-child relationship with his wife. I'll leave that right there. That's something you have to know where it is, on how your wife treats you, how she talks to you, and wives, how you treat and talk to your husband. Do you think he's a child you're raising or a man that you married to lead you in all things, in spiritual and in temporal? Is he a man who leads in the home, or is he just one of your children? I'll let that go. We're going to do that another day. We're going to go more into that later. And finally, the last one, grace builds connections at all levels. Shame kills. Help each other out of shame and step into a life of God's grace. Show the grace of God. Show forgiveness when it comes to the things in your marriage, whatever the temptations, the trials, and the tests are. There's grace and there's forgiveness. And seek to reconcile one to another and start to care for one another. Remember that why you got married, remember the love you had, the commitment you had, and work to restore it, work to build it, work to build new experiences. And be encouraged in the things that God wants to do with you as a couple. Again, as a married couple, you're a representative of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. And we are called to be an example. And to be an example to the generations that come behind us. Those young couples in the church, your children, your grandchildren, those around you who see you, that you never know who's watching, to see mimic or copy for your marriage and your relationship, that they might have relationships that are strong, that are growing, that are developing into lifetime covenants. Amen. So again, I just want to thank everyone for joining me this morning and being part of this. I just want to encourage you in marriage, encourage the husbands and the couples, wives, to seek those things to God, to seek help for your marriage, to heal your marriage. I just wanted to say thank you for joining me. We're here saving marriage, one marriage at a time. God bless you, and continue. Can continue to pray for one another, continue to encourage one another. And again, pray for one another. Pray for a church. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for another couple that you might know who might be struggling right now, just to continue to be part of and to transform, that God can transform and change and save a marriage. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.